This morning's Bible reading is from John chapter 4, verse 4 to 14. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word and through my words, Lord. And I just pray that your spirit would be at work in us as we listen and as we meet with you. Amen. Amen. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And then a few chapters later, Jesus says this: "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." I'm going to tell you a story about me, and it's not very good. So I had a week off over Christmas, and it was lovely. I had some nice chance to relax. But one day during that week, I decided I needed to rest and escape from the world a bit. And so what I did was I downloaded a game onto my mobile phone. I thought, I'll just spend a few minutes playing this game. And in the game, you were playing the role of the manager of a restaurant. And what you had to do was you had to spend money and manage your restaurant by hiring chefs and hiring waiters and putting in furniture like tables and chairs for customers to sit at, making sure there were enough toilets and that the restaurant was clean, all things like that, you know. And every time one of the little animated customers came in, they would have a meal and they would enjoy it. And then they would give you some coins, right? And you would get more and more coins, and then you could spend the coins on more and more things to improve your restaurant. Sounds pretty harmless, doesn't it? But you know, that game hooked me in, and not in a good way, not in a good way. It was perfectly crafted to keep you playing it for as long as possible, whilst tantalisingly leaving some things out of your grasp in the hope that at some point you would pay for them with some real money. Sometimes, during the game, things took a bit of time and you got a bit of impatience to get some more coins so that you could buy the next thing for the restaurant. And every 5 minutes or so, the game gave you the chance to get some extra coins for free, if you like. And all you had to do was watch an advert. Watch a 30-second advert that had been carefully chosen for you by Google. And some of those adverts were for other similar kinds of games like that. And some of the adverts were for apps, which promised that if you downloaded this app, you could get real money just by playing more games. And these adverts typically featured kind of fresh-faced, beautiful-looking young people saying, I just got a free Amazon £10 gift voucher just by playing some more games. And I was doing that already. Why not download the app so you can just play more games and earn money playing games? Well, do you know what? I played that game for 4 hours that evening. I played it during dinner time with John and the children. So I wasn't truly present to them during dinner time because every few minutes I was picking up my phone and buying some new condiments or a new telephone for the lobby of my restaurant. And I played it after tea when we were meant to be playing like a real game together with the children. So in between turns in our real game, I was picking up my phone every so often to check whether I had enough money to upgrade my restaurant car park and things like that. And I even played the game while I was putting the children to bed, in between helping them in and out of the bath, in between reading stories to them, in between even praying with them, believe it or not. And I played it later that night when John and I were supposedly having some nice time just watching TV together. Altogether, I played it for well over 4 hours. And I look at that now and I think, did that experience satisfy me? Did it satisfy my soul? Well, during that 4 hours, I got a few little dopamine hits. Now, dopamine is that chemical in your brain that just gives your brain a little buzz of pleasure. And briefly, I felt good that I was able to purchase a milkshake bar for my fictional restaurant, and the sight of the little coins kind of flying up into my fictional bank account always gave me a little glow of pleasure for about 3 seconds. And I also did successfully manage to escape. I managed to escape from my lovely family time and from my lovely children and my husband. What I didn't really manage to do was rest. It was quite exhausting, really, trying to manage a restaurant at the same time as eating food, seeing to the children and watching TV. Well, eventually, at about 10:30 p.m., I deleted the game from my phone. And it was really annoying, actually, deleting it at that point, because I'd almost saved enough for a new big table for the restaurant, and that would have brought in loads of extra customers and loads of extra money. Isaiah 55. Verses 1 and 2. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And this is from Matthew, chapter 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, says Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now listen, I'm not condemning computer games. I've actually had some great time playing computer games over Christmas with Johan, just playing Minecraft with him. I'm not just dissing them all. What I'm saying is this. We're all thirsty. We're thirsty. Our souls ache with longing. A lot of us, it's for rest and peace, but also for shalom, which is that biblical word that means peace, but more than peace, wholeness. But we're also thirsty for that joy, for love. We're thirsty for a sense of purpose. We're thirsty for meaning in our lives, for fulfillment, for hope. We're thirsty. And our culture, the world that we're living in, offers us all kinds of things on a plate which promise to fulfill that longing, that thirst. There's a word for these things. They're called idols. If the word worship actually means attending to something, giving it our attention, our devotion, our time, then we can see that we worship at the altars of all kinds of false gods of our age. I read something that said that the average iPhone user in 2019 spent 3 hours and 15 minutes per day worshipping at their tiny altar that you call a screen. And that was even before COVID, when some people's screen time shot up through the roof to like 7-8 hours a day. And people say they've got no time to pray, no time to read the scriptures. Some of us are addicted to social media, and every time someone likes one of our posts, we get a little dopamine hit that rewards us for being there. Like when I was a kid and I went to a Christian group and they gave us sweets for attending. It's a bit like that. And so we stay on a bit longer and a bit longer and a bit longer, and we scroll and maybe we'll find something good here. For some of us, and I've really struggled with this one, it's news apps, or maybe just news in general. And this has been a particularly seductive idol during COVID-19, checking it every half hour or so just to see if there's any new developments, somehow hoping that finding out more and more and more information will make me wise. For some of us, it's Netflix or whatever TV streaming service we choose. Streaming means that our God will never leave us nor forsake us. Because if we want to watch the next episode right now, it's there, we can. We don't have to wait till next week or whatever. It's right there for us. The God that keeps on giving. For some of us, and again, I struggle with this one, it's food. When we've had a bad day, we turn to the biscuit tin or the chocolate box or the ice cream tub. Or for some people, it might be the wine bottle or the beer can. For the woman at the well, from the story that Anne-Marie read in John chapter 4, it seems to have been relationships. Could have been about sex for her, we don't know. Could have been about just romantic love, just having someone there to tell her how beautiful she was. Says that she'd had 5 husbands and that she was living with the next guy. Perhaps she was hoping that one day she would find the one who would satisfy, the one that would meet all her needs, all her longings, to be unconditionally loved and cherished. Do you know, all these things are based on lies. And actually, it's worse than lies, because they're half-truths, because we do need food, we do need to rest and relax. Technology can be good, and relationships are given to us by God for our good. But the lie is that any of these things will actually satisfy. They will not satisfy. They will not quench that thirst. They will not fill that hole. They're a sham. They're false gods. But we, even as Christians, we kneel before them and we offer them our devotion, our time. We give them our treasures. Not just our money, but perhaps the more costly treasure of our attention. And where your treasure is, said Jesus, is where your heart is. So what will satisfy? What will satisfy our thirst? Jesus has the secret, and he tells the woman, I've got living water. I've got living water that can truly satisfy that thirst inside you. And then, of course, a few chapters later, as we read in chapter 7, he stands up at the Feast of Tabernacles and makes that crazy sounding announcement. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow within them. And it says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed were later to receive. By this he meant the Spirit. What is it that truly satisfies? What is it that can truly quench this thirst within us, this desire, this longing, this emptiness? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence living in us. And there's a line in Paul's letter to the Ephesians which gives us a clue as to how this works. It says, do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do what's going to really satisfy you. Because these other things are false gods that can never satisfy. They promise us rest or satisfaction or pleasure or distraction or admiration from others. But all these things are fleeting. None of these things last, and they certainly don't last into eternity. They're cheap substitutes for the real thing. Even us as Christians, even those of us in the church, we're far too readily seduced by the gods of the culture around us. And we're deceived by the lies of the evil one that these are things which will make us happy. So here's some truth. Here's some truth to begin our new year. God has poured out his Spirit on those who believe in him. You and I, we have access to the very presence of God, the deep, empowering, purifying, convicting, yet gentle, gift-giving, life-transforming Holy Spirit of Jesus, the one who gives true shalom, true peace, wholeness, rest, power, strength, the one who causes our lives to be fruitful, the one who guides us and gives us real wisdom, the one who helps us to discern the will of our Father God. I have access to all this. You have access to all this. So why am I settling for cheap substitutes? One last picture I want to share with you from Scripture. And this is about the well. It's significant that Jesus meets this woman at a well. There are lots of wells in the Bible, and particularly in the book of Genesis, and often they're places of encounter. Encounter between a man and a woman, or encounters with God. We think of the story of Hagar. But one of these stories about wells is a rather strange story in chapter 26 about Isaac. There's not much in the Bible about Isaac, really. There's lots about Abraham, his father, and there's lots about his son Jacob. But Isaac really only gets a couple of chapters to himself. But in chapter 26, there's this story where Isaac is becoming rich and he's getting more and more flocks and herds and they're really flourishing. And this annoys the Philistines who are nearby. And in verse 15 it says, "So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth." The wells were blocked. And this speaks to me because I feel that our wells have got blocked. I feel that our wells have got blocked and filled with earth. We have access to the living water of the Spirit, and yet there's so much muck and sin and lies and second-class stuff from the surrounding culture that's just got in and clogged up the well. And so we don't thrive and flourish and grow in our faith as the people of God. Isaac and his servants, they knew their need for water. The land was desert, so they knew that in order to flourish, in order to survive and to thrive, they needed water. In fact, the whole of chapter 26 of Genesis basically is about Isaac and his servants digging wells and negotiating over access to the water. And in verse 18, it says, "Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them." He unblocked the wells. So this is my word for us all. This is my word for us as a church. Maybe for Ynys Môn at the beginning of 2022. We need to unblock the wells. The Holy Spirit of Jesus, the very presence of God, the living water of life, wants to be able to flow freely among us again. Nothing else is going to satisfy us. In fact, many of those things that we take as cheap substitutes will actually clog up and block our access to the water of life. This is a season for us to unblock the wells, to get rid of the sin and the rubbish and the distractions that are clogging us up, and allow God's presence and life-giving Spirit to flow among us and out from us, to the people around us and the world in which we live, so that it becomes a rushing river of life, like that beautiful picture in Revelation, which allows everything around it to grow and flourish and to be fed. Just imagine what our community could look like if that water of life were truly able to flow unhampered in our midst. Just going to finish with these words from the end of the Bible. This is from Revelation. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride, that's the church, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. It's there for us. It's there for us. Let's not be deceived or seduced by things that don't really satisfy. Let's come to the real source of the water. Let's unblock the wells. Let's draw near. Let's receive the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit again. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we need you so much. And we know that nothing else in this world can satisfy. And we know that so often we give our time and our attention to things which won't satisfy. So Lord God, today we want to offer you again our lives. We ask that you would unblock the wells. We pray that you would fill us again with your Spirit so that we might be rivers of life flowing out into the world and into our community. Lord God, we know we can't do this in our own strength, but only through the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross and because of what he has done. And because of your amazing grace to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're at work among us and that you're with us and that you don't leave us in darkness. And so we say together the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.